Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series, Community, as we run up to Advent and Christmas. Edward Hoskin, Methodist lay reader, shares his reflections on community as reconciliation in class, culture, and ethnicity. Our readings are taken from 1 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 19, and Romans 15, verses 1 to 9. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
So the context of our reading this morning is that Paul has just informed his readership, or reminded them, about his special commission from God to be an apostle, but that doesn't give him particular rights. He explains to his new readers that the commissioning he has is just the same as the one that they have. So I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I became all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No. I strike a blow to my body to make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. This is the word of the Lord.
The next reading is from Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 to 9. And again, to put it into context, I'll start with a verse of the last chapter. If you do anything before God that you believe is not right, you are sinning. We may know that these things make no difference, but we cannot just go ahead and do them to please ourselves. We must be considerate of the doubts and fears of those who think these things are wrong. We should please others. If we do what helps them, we will build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't please himself. As the scriptures say, those who insult you are also insulting me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. They give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ Jesus towards the other. Then all of you can join together in one voice giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Then God will be glorified. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. And he came so the Gentiles might also give glory to God for his mercies to them. This is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we continue thinking about what it is to be a wholesome community. I'm thinking today particularly about class, culture, and ethnicity. I'd just like to start by saying I'm pleased to be part of this church because it is so diverse. Now, we may not be as diverse as some in terms of the range of ethnicity, but I think if we look around and we know each other and we talk to each other, we know that we come from different backgrounds, we have different upbringings, we have all sorts of ways in which we have different expectations. And these words, I don't necessarily want to think about those words too much, but just to think of the words perhaps in terms of diversity, in terms of range of beliefs, of backgrounds. And I looked up the word culture in the dictionary. It's a classic preacher's trick. Look at the dictionary first. And it talks about culture as a concept that encompasses social behavior, knowledge, belief, arts, laws, customs, capabilities, attitudes, and habits. Now, it's quite a long list, but it really talks about knowledge, beliefs, and what I would perhaps call behavior, even, in terms of our attitudes to how we live. And the reason I don't want to sort of talk too much about class and ethnicity, but in particular perhaps, is because it's all too easy to trigger sensitivities. It's not to say we shouldn't have those sensitivities, but I don't want to suggest that anyone is of any particular ethnic background or anyone is of a particular class or anyone has a particular upbringing. But you all individually know that you come from different backgrounds and you are different to the people you may be sitting next to. And it's something to do with identity, that we all feel we have an identity. And again, if you look up the word identity, it talks about nationality, ethnicity, religion, social class, generation, gender identity, language, ethnicity. Again, those words come up. And all of this has an influence on us in terms of how we view the world. And that might be your little world that you live in, your little sort of wherever you your home, your neighborhood, or it might be the wider world, but it all the way we have been brought up, these attitudes, these beliefs, shape our view of the world. Now, as I say, I'm pleased to be part of this church. My wife and I, family, we've been in various different churches over our lives, and this church has quite a good variety of different people of different backgrounds, and we could do better. There could be more variety. But I just want to give you one little example which I came across recently, which may have some impact on you. I heard of a church where they had quite a diverse ethnic sort of background, and they used to have a regular Sunday lunchtime, a monthly lunchtime family meal. And the meals used to be the sort of food we often have in our family meals and whatever. And on one occasion, a particular Asian family said, perhaps we could do the meal next week, introduce some of our foods. And the church decided they couldn't do that because they were concerned about the smell of Asian food permeating the kitchen. Now, hopefully you find that as shocking as I do. But it's an indication of how sometimes we can just sort of say things or things can come across in the wrong way. And this is a church that's wanted to embrace people of different cultures, of ethnicity, and yet when it came to the smell of the food, somehow that was a step too far. And so for each of us, we should perhaps think, what is perhaps the trigger or the step too far that makes us think, oh, that's not what we expect? So I say, this is quite a diverse church, but we could do better. But in contrast, imagine if all people were identical. Imagine if everyone in this church was the same. Imagine if everyone in the world was the same. What we'd lose in terms of that richness of culture, dare I say that richness of smells, but that richness of art, that richer of intelligence, not intelligence in the word, knowledge, of skills, of imagination, of art, all those things. If we were all the same, how bland things would be. To make that a bit more stark, imagine if everyone was me. You would obviously all like cycling. You would obviously all like the sort of things I like. Anyway, but you got the point. For each of you, though, put your picture there. Do we have the attitude when we go around in life that we sort of expect people to be like us? Same expectations, same attitudes, same background, same upbringing. So to the text we had today. And hopefully I'll prompt you to some extent to sort of think what these made, what was said by Paul. So Paul said this, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. So his whole approach here is to win people for Christ, to expand the kingdom of God. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. To the weak, I became weak. Easy enough, isn't it, really? I have become all things, there we go, to all people. Now, this is Paul speaking. So that I might save some. Again, back to that saving, winning people. But for that I, where Paul says I, if we put we, now, it's slightly problematical, again, not focusing too much, but see, I became like a Jew. I'll just use that as an example. It's not that we should become Jews, it's like a Jew. Some texts use the phrase, I seem as one of them. The Message in particular, I think, describes it well. And it says, I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearing in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. So whether it's Jews, whether it's the weak, whether it's people of different ethnic backgrounds, whether it's people of different culture, to get alongside them, to become, to enter their world, to see the world from their perspective. Our other text, thank you, Andy, for reading a different text, because now this isn't necessarily going to work quite as well as I'd hoped. But we who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak. So again, get alongside the weak. Doesn't mean we have to be weak. We need to remain strong to help them, but we need to bear their failings, to take on, understand their weakness. We should please our neighbors to build them up. Is this not working? And so may God give you the same attitude as, you can probably guess this, as Christ. And accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And that, there were the phrases in the New International Version. But we're challenged here to think of who is our neighbors. Now, hopefully, I say hopefully, it's, again, it's a dangerous thing for any preacher to stand up and assume you all know your Bible, but hopefully most of you have heard of the Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, whereby the certain man who was attacked by robbers and left for dead, the Levite walked by on the other side, the priest walked by on the other side, but the person least expected to help him, we assume that the man who was robbed and left for dead was a Jew, and a Samaritan. The Jews and Samaritans hated each other, but in the Samaritan, in the parable that Jesus tells, the Samaritan, the one who would least expect to help the man who was in dire straits, helped him. And Jesus used that as an example when he was asked, who is my neighbor? So we all had a bit of a titter at this picture of me. But replace that. Oh, that didn't build quite as I expected. Hold on, go back. What's happening here? There we go. So it should replace them individually. Sorry, that makes much difference. But having gone to the effort of making the PowerPoint look sort of impressive, I thought I'd try and get to it. But again, when we think of ourselves and our attitudes, our behaviors, and our expectations perhaps that other people should be like us, these are our neighbors. I can't possibly, in a picture of 15 images, include every type of culture, every type of ethnicity. I may have missed some. But for you as an individual, perhaps look at that list, those pictures, and think, which ones would I perhaps walk by on the other side? Not if they were in desperate, dire need, but just wouldn't necessarily want to go up and talk to, would find it difficult to relate to, would rather not sit next to them, wouldn't like their smell. Now, I'm not accusing any of you of anything. As I say, we're a diverse church. We're a wonderful church. We are accepting of everyone. We open our doors and let everyone in. But we all have, most of us, have a tendency to have certain, shall I say, limits to what we're comfortable with. And that's the challenge. These are our neighbors. And so rather than talking about the difficulties, let's think of how valuing diversity, that we really, really value the fact that people are different. We really value that there are different cultures, there are different ethnicities, there are different classes, there's different backgrounds, different attitudes. Value it as something that brings variety, that brings a wealth of understanding of God's love for everyone. My little clicker isn't working very well. It's not working at all now. There we go. So I had this slide at the beginning of the actual, you know, our focus of reconciliation of class, culture, and ethnicity. But it's more, I see it's more about, rather than reconciliation is putting something back, making it right again. That sort of assumes we've got it wrong to start with. On a more positive note, value the diversity, value the friendship. Be empathetic, getting alongside, acknowledge that different people have different attitudes, behaviors, expectations. All those words. I'm not going to go through each of those words. Perhaps a little bit of a jump now, but in the Western world, we tend to paint Jesus as a European. Some of you may know the sort of Holman Hunt picture. This is a sort of a similar sort of a copy of it, but Jesus knocking on the door. A very Western look, clean face, not nicely sort of cleaned hair, you know, tidy beard. Put that 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, he probably wouldn't have looked quite like that. To make more extreme note, there are other types of art which show Jesus being quite different. A different culture, a different hairstyle. So say, Western art, we are perhaps too familiar with art which depicts Jesus as European-looking. And so does it challenge your views if you start to think of Jesus as something with a different ethnic background? We know, we understand, we are told that we are all made in the image of God. But I think we also have to be cautious of making God or thinking of God in the image of us. In Matthew 25, again, hopefully you may know of Matthew 25, where Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats at the final judgment. People say, but when did I see you hungry and thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison? And Jesus says, whenever you did anything to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so that text in Matthew 25 talks about when the Son of Man comes in his glory for judgment. When Jesus comes in his glory and judges us, have we seen Jesus in all ethnicity, all classes, all cultures? Or have we somehow constrained our view of, of Jesus, of God, by our own culture. So clearly today, on Remembrance Sunday, we think of how many wars have been caused by intolerance of difference, of countries, of societies not able to live alongside each other without either greed or a feeling that what they represent isn't what we want. Thank you. We'll have a quick drink. Many other things that cause war as well, but intolerance of religion, of ideology, of nationalism, of concern that they're different and they might threaten us, of economic aspects. And we need to pause and think of when we remember those who have not only died, and as Fabian said, but those who still serve. What are their, those who serve, what are they fighting for? Are they fighting for acceptance of diversity? Are they fighting for justice, fighting against injustice? The Archbishop, Justin Welby, says, reconciliation is not the end of all difference, ending of all difference, but the transformation of how we deal with difference. So again, it's valuing difference. That requires a transformation of us as individuals, a transformation of society. But society is again us. I should have perhaps put us there. Society, we are in society. A transformation of nations. And this transformation is so that we can win others for God, but we can acknowledge that all are children of God. All can know that they are children of God, and that we can see that everyone else, we are all children of God. I'm sure some of you will have heard this before. First, they came from the communists, and I did not speak up because I was not a communist. Then they came from the socialists, and I did not speak up because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak up because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak up because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak up for me. I've heard that before. It's often used on Holocaust Memorial Day. Written by Martin Niemöller. In the First World War, Martin Niemöller fought in the German Navy. In the interwar period, he strongly felt that Germany needed to become dominant again, to become nationalistic. He supported the Nazi Party. He was anti-Semitic between the wars. But then he did, what is poignant about that what he wrote there, I didn't say he wrote those words. He didn't write those words abstractly. They applied to him because he ended up in a concentration camp for the whole of the Second World War. Slightly before the Second World War, he stood up against the Nazi regime because they were trying to control the churches. He had become a German theologian, a Lutheran pastor, and when the Nazi party wanted to control the Protestant church in Germany, he stood up and was imprisoned. So those words was him. He didn't stand up for the communists or the socialists or the trade unions or the Jews. So he was anti-Semitic on stage. And no one was there to help him when he stood up for what he believed. So when we are aware of discrimination, yes, we can stand up as individuals perhaps, but we also need to stand up as a society. We've just sung the national anthem. You know, we need to stand up for our nation. We need to stand up for equality between nations. Transformation not only of us as individuals, but our role as standing up for others when we see injustice. And so the changes we need, all sorts of changes. I've hopefully hinted at sort of the hidden prejudices we have in us, the things that we don't even recognize in ourselves, a narrowness of vision perhaps, an unconscious judgment. Things that are difficult to analyze in our own minds, in our own sense. But sometimes we have this bias. I'm not going to mention politics. I've had too much of that recently. But we know there is bias. and there is different strength of views. So with all these sort of views in mind, I thought we'd end with a prayer. I know there's quite a few words there. Let's take it reasonably slowly. Let these words sink in. I came across this prayer some time ago, and I can't remember where it came from, and I think I've adapted it slightly. But nonetheless, I hope it summarizes some of what I've said. And so let us say together. Lord of all, forgive the narrowness of our vision, the hidden prejudices that lead us to dismiss others as unsuitable for your kingdom, the desire to claim you for our own and to shape you into an image that makes you a comfortable companion. Our only hope is the transforming power of your love to shatter our exclusive images of you. A new understanding of the breadth, the depth, and reach of your love. Acceptance that to you all are worth and all are called to be your children. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.